I have a little friend, Ben, I've gotten to know over the last few years in Shady Cove. I coached a soccer team a few years ago, and it's been fun to see him grow. The last 2 years, he and his sister have been part of the Junior 4-H program called Clover Buds, which Kim has led, and we've hosted in the church basement once a month on Sundays. Well, now that he's growing up, his interests are changing, and now he's really into squatching. Not squashing, like I used to love to squash bugs and slugs and stuff like that, but squatching, as in looking for Sasquatch, Bigfoot, you know, Yeti, the abominable snowman, the creature from Shady Cove or whatever. And he loves to watch those quirky shows on TV, the Bigfoot hunters, and they go out with night vision goggles. His dream is to go visit the Bigfoot trap in the Applegate. He's always keeping a watch out for tracks and signs. He's a kid on the lookout. Bigfoot beware. Well, I told him that we live here at the church on the property along a Bigfoot migration route, and he got pumped up. And especially when I told him, I'm serious. I said, every time you come, be on the lookout because he's moving. Well, the few meetings, oh boy, he would be scanning there, looking through the minivan windows, and boy, when he saw Bigfoot, he was excited. Well, some of you think I'm kidding. Some of you know I'm not. Some of you think I'm crazy, and others of you know I am. But I've got a confession to make on behalf of my family and I. We have been messing with you for years now. And in case you haven't noticed, let me give you some background. It was a Tuesday afternoon. Kim decided to go to ladies' Bible study. She enjoys the group until she said, okay, the kids have got a lot of schoolwork to do. You need to really make sure they're diligent. I said, okay. I said, kids, I'm tired of math. How about you? Oh, yeah. Well, we'd recently come back from Cave Junction, and they have all those outdoor sculptures that are cut out of metal and really expensive, and I got an idea. I thought, hey, you know, they had this life-size Bigfoot, and I wasn't going to pay like $200 for it, but I said, I know what we could do. So long story short, kids and I went to the computer, and we picked Bigfoot, clicked images on Google, boom, boy, there's more than you'd ever want to know. And we found a nice one, and we printed it out on the printer. We got the overhead projector. We still use those things sometimes. And we blew it up on a 4x8 sheet of plywood and taught the kids how to safely use a jigsaw. I had some brown paint, so we painted that baby. And then later on, you know, Mom gets home. How was school? Oh, they were fired up. Oh, Mom, we learned about art and wood shop and biology. They're like, huh? Didn't get the other stuff done. But anyway, we set up Bigfoot down by the bus barn. And lo and behold, from time to time, he moves around the church property. You know, and he's going different directions. How many of you have seen him? Okay, a few of you. All right. Well, it's not always easy, but it depends on the amount of foliage in the season. But he's always been there for the last 2 years. Some of you have literally driven by him hundreds of times and not even known it. I'm guessing that that's going to change. But you better watch out. But like I said, this is a migration route. He's on the move. He's gun shy, so he does not venture beyond the bus barn because he knows what the local yokels are like. Besides, I don't really want my house to be a backstop for the bullets that would come flying. He's getting a little more daring. He's about 15 feet from the church driveway as we speak. Now, you might be saying, why in the world are you talking about this? And why in the world do you have Bigfoot? Well, that's a question for another day. But just like Bigfoot, he's been poking out from behind the bushes in the bus barn, and you didn't notice him, many of you. Some people never notice God's presence. It's not like God is hiding behind things. In fact, God is right out in the open. But a lot of people, they've been Christians for years, but they've never gotten in the habit of actually going, God, I want to see you at work. There's your presence. I see you doing things. I'm not saying you need to start getting in the habit of looking for Bigfoot on the church property. That, I know it's kind of weird, but it's fun. But you've missed out on the surprise. If you haven't been looking for God doing things in your life, that's really missing out. It's not that he's hiding, but sometimes he doesn't appear the way we think he should, or he doesn't do things or manifest himself. But if we have eyes to see, and we ask the Lord to show himself, he will. Well, I'm hoping this will change in you and me. And so when we're going up and down the driveways of life, we'll be looking for God. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be learning about this and studying it. And I am confident that we are going to have a good time together. Let me go ahead and pray and we'll jump right in. I thank you, Lord, that you allow us to enjoy life and to experience new things. And I thank you, Father, that you walk with us, that you are always present, that you are always at work. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people who cite you on a regular basis. Thank you, Lord, because it can change our lives and change the lives of others. Would you give us guidance and wisdom as we work through our passage today? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to begin going on a God hunt. And you might say, what is that? Well, simply defined, a God hunt is choosing to recognize God anytime he intervenes in daily life. You know, sometimes as adults, we get a little focused and we can forget God. And the only time we remember him is when we're in trouble, there's difficulty, we're in a bind, you know, kind of like the old, there's no atheists in foxholes. But I want you to begin to think of it as a hide and seek kind of game, kind of like my Bigfoot sightings outside. And I know as a kid, I loved hide and seek. It was fun. We had a big backyard. We had lots of kids. There was vacant lots and cul-de-sacs, and we had a great time. But you know, there's no reason why we can't have fun with that. View it as it's kind of fun. Where am I going to see God? Is he here? And we can approach it with wonder. Another way to put it is people have said, I spy. You know, you don't have to put your glasses on, but you can say, you know, I spy God. And then it's fun to say, to let people know where you do. Well, there's four categories we're going to look at in the next month. And here they are. One of them would be a God sighting, or finding God is an obvious answer to prayer. Another one is an unexpected evidence of his care. You didn't expect him to bless you, and he did. Then there's help to do his work in the world. And there's unusual linkage or timing when things come together. Well, we're going to look at the answer to prayer today. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in Genesis 24. And it's actually a very long chapter, so we're going to skim our way through it. But it's kind of an eHarmony kind of story. Abraham's chief servant is sent on a mission to find a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. And Abraham knows it is very important. God has promised he is going to have an heir. He's going to keep the covenant. But if this is going to happen, Isaac has got to find a wife. And so God is going to be working all behind the scenes. And everyone is going to give him praise when they recognize it. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever tried to play matchmaker. It can be a touchy subject. But Abraham gives us instructions. He's old. He's well advanced in years. I think he's 140. And the Lord had blessed him. And he said to his servant, put your hand under my thigh and swear by the Lord that you won't take a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites. I want you to go find someone who believes in the one true God. Go to my country and take a wife for my son. Well, he's got an interesting question. He goes, what if she's not willing to follow me? Because Abraham's country, where he was from, was 450 to 500 miles away. That's a long ways if you're walking or riding a camel. You know, what's 500 miles from here? San Francisco? I mean, that's a long ways to walk. And then he's about to go down there and say, hey, I got this good-looking guy you need to meet. Come with me. And it's going to take him a month to get there. What he does is he arrives, he says, yes, Abraham, I will do that. And he tents out on this journey, and he's got all these expensive gifts along with his 10 camels. So obviously he's a man of means to have 10 camels. While he's on the road, he gets to this village and he utters this prayer, oh Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness, show your loyal love to my master. And he goes, see, I'm standing beside this spring, and the daughter of the townspeople are coming to get a drink. Draw water. Please, when I say to a young woman, please, let down your jar so I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll water your camels also. Let that be the one you've chosen for Isaac. And if all this happens, I will know that you've shown kindness to him. The scripture says, before he even stopped praying, he hadn't even said, in Jehovah's name, amen. Out comes Rebecca with a jar on her shoulder. She happened to be a relative of Abraham's and a very beautiful virgin. And the servant runs over and says, please give me, draw some water, I'm thirsty. And then she says, I'll draw it for your camels too. A camel can drink 30 gallons or more when it's thirsty. So this lady just didn't say, here, you want a glass? I don't know how big her bucket was. Let's say it's 2 gallons. I'll drop that thing down in the ground 150 times for you. This is a hardworking woman. This is good. You know, this is a great sign. The servant goes, ah, amazing, Lord. And this was kind of a crazy prayer, but the Lord had been guiding this whole steps, but everything is coming to pass. And he's going, whoa, I wonder if she's the one. Now, she still better not be a daughter of the Canaanite. He's really hoping to find out if she's a relative or not. But God is clearly at work here. Well, it turns out she is related. In verses 26 and 27, we read, the servant bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. He knows that God has just answered a prayer. This is not his doing. He's traveled 450 miles, and God is setting up the details. Well, this particular chapter actually has all 4 God hunt kind of events in it. It's really cool. And I encourage you, take your handout and then go home and read the chapter again. But the first one was an answer to prayer. The second one is unexpected evidence of his care. Isn't it amazing? He didn't have to do hundreds of interviews. He didn't have to go to dozens of cities, all kinds of countries. He just went to this one place, and the first lady out the gate was her. This is great. God was caring for him. And have you ever seen God care for you in an amazing way that you didn't expect, but you really needed? If you recognize God's hand, that's a God sighting. Well, the next one is number 3, help to do his work in the world. Remember, this was an assignment from his master Abraham, and it involved getting the covenant of God. And so he is doing God's work, and the Lord is guiding him, directing him. It's amazing. He didn't just come to the right place, meet the right girl, but he got lodging and food and warm reception, and he didn't even have to water his own camels. Now, I hope he helped her. That would have been lame. You know, he just sits there for like 2 hours while she's working and, you know, beads of sweat pouring off of her. I don't know. But nevertheless, he's doing God's work and God steps in. What does that mean? Well, let's just say that you made a meatloaf and it happened to be way too big for you and your spouse to eat. So you say, you know, we really shouldn't kill that pound and a half off. Let's cut it in half and put it in the freezer. Well, then all of a sudden you get a call from one of the ladies at the church and says, somebody's sick and they need meals this week. Could you help? As a matter of fact, I could. Boom, I got this meatloaf. Can I take tonight? God's work in the world, and he helps you out. You didn't even have to go into any effort. You'd already made it. That's how God sometimes works, and that's a God sighting. Well, the fact is the Abraham servant had said, yes, master, I will go. And he actually did, and he prays to God, and God comes through. Well, the next thing, number 4, is like an unusual linkage or timing. Pretty incredible that he shows up just as the ladies are walking out. Pretty incredible that she's at the head of the pack, and that she's obviously had her Wheaties for breakfast, so she's ready to help. God was doing things. And sometimes we say, oh, well, that's a coincidence. Well, I'd like you to start thinking in terms of, this is a God incident. Coincidences, yeah, sometimes they just happen, but I know that the Lord's hand is all upon those things. And so be looking in big ways and small for God to show up. My father-in-law is a hunter. He's been a hunter all his life, and he can see a deer from so far away. It doesn't matter if he's driving, we're walking. It's like, boom, oh, there's a deer. Oh, there it is. It's amazing because he's trained his eye to look for those things, and they just stand out. Well, for others of us, as we're learning to hunt, and take Kyle, you know, it takes us a lot longer to see that same thing. You may not be used to looking for God, but with practice, it will become easier because you'll start to recognize, oh, this is how God does things. And it gets exciting. And I want to encourage you, whenever you see God at work, when you have a God sighting, when you have an I spy, write it down. This week, I had several things that happened. I was thinking, oh, that's cool, and I praise the Lord. But I forgot to write them down. But there were a couple other things. I was in the car, and I had a scrap piece of paper, and I wrote them down. And I'm going to tell you about them in a couple minutes. It's really critical. I don't know about you and your to-do list, but it probably really helps if you write it down. A great place to write it down is our little God Hunt journals. You can carry it around with you if you want. That's fine. Or keep it next to your Bible. Keep it on your bedstead. They're $3. If that's an issue, you can have one. They're about 50 pages long. And we're going to be doing the God Hunt for the next 3 weeks. But you know what? Sometimes it takes more than 3 weeks to get a habit. And if you do this for 50 days, it will become part of your life. And it will make a huge difference. And let me read an introduction from the introduction in the booklet. It says, why is it important to use a journal? Because you will not remember if you don't begin to keep a lasting record. The tendency of all humans is to forget. We pray, we plead, we call on God with our requests. He answers. He performs miracles. The supernatural interacts with the natural, and we stand around pondering what happened. I want to encourage you, write them down, and it'll help you to remember. And if you develop the habit, pretty soon, it will be really fun. Let's just say in 2 months, you look back, you're discouraged, you're having a difficult time. Boy, you get your list out, and you start going, oh, yeah, I saw him do that. I was out at the supermarket. Oh, yeah. Oh. And it can be very encouraging. You know, it said, God, like a doting father playing hide-and-seek with his children, delights in being found by them, just as they delight in his finding them. Isn't that cool? God wants to be discovered. He wants you to be paying attention to him at work in the world. And it will help you find him in your everyday world. I mean, write them in your notebook. Use your phone app. Not that there's a God on one, but you got your memory notes and stuff like that. But take the time. It will make a big difference. Here's a few that I remember from this week. I have a long honey-do list. Kim will be back 2 weeks from Saturday. And I've been trying to get a lot of projects done. And one of the things was we were given some lawn furniture that really needed painting. It's like, okay, I'm going to paint them white. So I'm like, okay, what do I got in the house? It was so cool because in the garage, I don't know where it came from, I found a gallon of exterior white primer. Good start. I rustled around some more. Downstairs in the church, I found some exterior white paint. Did it shake the earth? Does that change my life? No. But was that an unexpected evidence of God's care? I saved myself $10 on paint. Or actually, I say $40. You know, the way paint's going, this is cool. Thank you, Lord. You know, it could have been a coincidence. But who cares? Too often we go through life and we don't give the Lord credit enough. So if we give him extra credit sometimes when he had nothing, maybe it was Mike Evenson that put him there, who cares? God still, I recognize God's hand in it and it makes it fun. Well, another one of my to-do lists was I noticed the woodshed, part of the wood had fallen down. And I also did not find anything in the tin shed. And I've got about 12 other things that I've... Come on over tomorrow. We'll have fun together. But Friday morning, I woke up early, and I went out, and I fed the chickens first thing, and I got the cats and got them squared away, and I noticed the woodshed. And I was really tempted to jump in and start trying to stack it back up again. But the Lord kind of said, no, spend time with me right now. Because with the hot weather, sometimes I've been spending time... outside projects and then go spend time with God, and sometimes I flip it around. And I just felt like the Lord said, no, be with me now. Okay. So I finished up, and I thought, you know, it's still shady in the backyard. Maybe I better tackle the tin shed sooner than later because tin, heat, sun, it's going to get hot. Well, it was so interesting because way back in there, in the depths of the shed, I found these little plastic doohickeys that are designed to put two 2x4s here, two 2x4s here, to keep your wood from falling over. I'm like, oh, cool. Because then I got to thinking, I can use those for my stacking up my wood. And so I realized, you know, I'd been thinking, well, Lord, I got to get all this stuff done, but I need to spend time with you. And then what did he do? He allowed me to get the shed clean. I find these doohickeys that it would have taken me more time, and they wouldn't have been half as good. So I got to spend time with God. I got all these things done, and I had the blessing of seeing him at work. Did it change my life totally? Ah, I found these plastic doohickeys. No, but was it fun? Do I give God credit? And do I say, thank you, Lord, for helping me out? Absolutely. Okay, here's a little more significant of one. We're getting ready for the 5-day club. Be praying for it. July 17 to 21, still opportunities to help, bring snacks. But I've been passing flyers out all over town, tacking them up at the supermarket, in the pharmacy. I've got a few more places to go. And I checked in with the city because I'd made reservations that we could use the little covered area. And I wanted to ask if we could get a hold of water because it's going to be hot. We want to be able to throw water balloons and things. Well, the city manager met me at the desk, and I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years because I help with Community Watch, and they make copies for me and help me out with things. And he saw I had a stack of flyers, and before I could ask if I could leave a couple little ones on the front desk, he said, would you like me to display that? Cool. Absolutely. City of Sadie Cove is going to promote the gospel getting to children. I love it. I couldn't have orchestrated that. He volunteered. Plus, they're cool with me leaving them on the porch. So when you go pay your water bill, oh, pick one up and hand it to somebody. God at work to do his work. Then I talked to the community center lady, and she said, oh, I'll email that to all the Upper Rogue Youth Association kids. Cool. I'm not sure she's a believer, but she's getting the word out. God, these are things you are doing. I love it. Well, I hope you begin to get in the habit of this. But you know what? We better finish the story. Let's read Genesis 24 from verse 53 to the end of the chapter. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver and gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and her mother costly ornaments. And he and the men who were with them ate and drank, and they spent the night there. When they rose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. Her brother and mother said, let the young woman remain for us a while, at least 10 days, and then she can go. But he said, don't delay me. The Lord has prospered me on my way. Send me so I can go and be with my master. So they said, well, let's ask Rebekah what she thinks. And when she said, will you go with this man 450 miles away? She said, I'll go. So they sent away Rebekah with her sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed her and said, oh, sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him. Then Rebekah and her young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went on his way. Verse 62. Now Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai-Roi and was dwelling in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards evening, and he looked up his eyes, and behold, there were camels coming. And I'm sure his heart went thump, thump. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, who is that man walking through the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. God was at work. He was orchestrating these things. And if you read chapter 24 at least 3 times, the master and everyone else praises God for answered prayer, for guidance and direction. I have a feeling if he had a God hunt journal, he wrote in it that night multiple times. And Rebekah could have, and Isaac and Abraham as well. Some Moses wrote the story down so we can read it. That is cool. Well, the question is not whether or not God is going to be working. The question is, are you going to be noticing? And will you be seeking and hunting him out? Get your goggles on. Be ready. Be looking. And be sure to give him credit. You know, Abraham's servant obeyed Abraham, and he stepped out in faith. And he and Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah all saw God at work. God wants to reveal himself to you in big and small ways. Join in on the God hunt this week, this month, and next week when we come to worship. Be prepared to share a story. Maybe not like that story, because we only got so much time, but be prepared to say, guess what I saw God do, big or small, and we're going to rejoice with you, and it'll build your faith and ours too. Let me close with this. God's on the move, and so is Bigfoot. Let's stand as we close.